Patricia Brañez is a stoic and straight-talking sociologist who focuses on women in a country largely dominated by men. She's holding a cigarette with one hand and with the other, leafing through a binder full of numbers and newspaper headlines. She works for the Centro de Información y Desarrollo de la Mujer, or CIDEM, Bolivia's largest women's rights organization. CIDEM is the only institution to be monitoring cases of femicide, and Brañez says those numbers have been going up steadily since 2004, year after year.
Se determina que, por ejemplo, el 2009 han habido 98 feminicidios.
We've determined that in 2009 there were 98 femicides in our country, and this is only by looking at press clips.
Sabemos que existe un registro como en todos los países y que seguramente
We know that the numbers must be much higher. We're estimating around 160. Most of these cases haven't been registered by any government institutions, so to us this clearly means that the Bolivian state and society have come to accept violence against women as the norm.
But why have the numbers gone up so much in the last year? Brañez doesn't have the answer. All she knows is that the data is alarming and that there are plenty of cases in La Paz and the neighboring slum city of El Alto that can illustrate this. Gladys Apaza's home is in the poor working-class neighborhood of Villa Victoria. A month ago, her father came home from work and found the 20-year-old's body, her little nephew, Nilo, laying dead next to her with another gunshot wound. Her ex-boyfriend, Gary, a military officer, admitted to his family that he killed Gladys. But then he fled, and now neither his parents nor the military will reveal his whereabouts. Viviana Apaza is Gladys' mother, who's been visibly distraught by the crime since it happened.
I was selling toys at my stand downtown when I realized that I had 8 missed calls on my cell phone. I answered the last time, and my husband said to me, "Gladys is dead, Nilo is dead, and I almost died myself." That instant, I left everything and came home. When I got here, our home was full of police officers, journalists, photographers. They told me to go upstairs and didn't even let me see my kids.
Viviana Apaza says she can now see the warning signs she missed. Gladys had broken up with Gary in January, but he refused to accept it. He'd become extremely possessive and jealous and repeatedly asked her to hide this from others. He flaunted his military background and told Gladys he couldn't marry a girl like her from a poor family. Aside from playing these painful scenes over and over in her head for the last month, Viviana has been consumed by the fact that the family can't afford the lawyer. On the other hand, Gary's family has 4.
¿Cómo es posible que 4 abogados defiendan a un criminal?
How could it be that 4 lawyers defend a criminal and we don't even have 1? I am a poor, simple, hardworking woman, and my daughter was too. I once told Gary, "There are women that will line up to be with you because you have a swagger and a uniform. You'll even find women that are much better off than my daughter. So why do you insist on being with her?"
Not all cases of violence against women are motivated by jealousy and possession, but Gladys's case is certainly one of many others that have come to the attention of the Bolivian police.
Fortunately, the Bolivian police forces are doing everything in our power to investigate crimes, no matter whether the victims are rich or poor or powerful or not.
Colonel Rosario Alvarez Claros is the chief of the Crimes Division. Faced with the sharp rise in violent crimes against women, he says machismo must be to blame. But Alvarez can't explain why the military isn't helping the police in solving Gladys's murder.
We're doing the investigations but haven't had much success. We've contacted the military command to see whether Gary's still active or his whereabouts, but they won't comply.
The leadership of the Bolivian military is so powerful that no one can face up to them, not even the Ministry of Justice. But for the last 6 months, the institution has been trying to address this kind of impunity by introducing a new law. It's called the Ley de Feminicidio, and it marks the first time in the history of Bolivia that gender crimes will be prosecutable by up to a 30-year sentence. Irma Campos is in the newly created gender department, and she says she hopes the new law will change Bolivian society.
Normalmente lo que se ha habido es el tema del homicidio como tal, Typically, we've criminalized homicide or murder, but this definition of femicide is new in our country because we wouldn't give that much importance to the killing of women. So we're just starting to give it the focus it needs by giving it a name. Now when people hear femicide, they're starting to ask, femicide? What's that?
Most Bolivians seem puzzled by the term feminicidio and the eminent law, especially since no outreach programs have been designed to inform the public about the need for this law, nor its aim. Meanwhile, there are only 3 women's resource and legal centers in La Paz and El Alto, with more cases of violence than they can handle. Valentina is among those cases, a poor woman in her mid-30s with a violent husband who refuses to grant her a divorce. She's come to this women's center to explore the possibility of a lawsuit, the only way out of her abusive marriage. Valentina says she's skeptical that a femicide law will do much to reduce society's denial of gender violence.
Can you imagine how violent this man is that my life has been at risk many, many times? He could have killed me, and the police wouldn't do anything. What's more, I'm not afraid of him anymore. I know how to defend myself. But now I'm into the 3rd lawsuit and have no chances to win. So what do I have to do now? Pay the judge? You know, laws are beautiful, but here in Bolivia, they're not applied and they don't make a difference.
But one bright light in all of this is that the rising violence has galvanized victims and the Bolivian press around the issue. The term femicide may be controversial, but most members of the Bolivian parliament seem to feel something needs to be done, so the law is almost sure to pass. For Making Contact, I'm Ruxandra Guiri, El Alto, Bolivia.